You're the Lord of my life. You're the Lord of my life.
Life exam. This is the kind of exam we started taking in the last lesson, and if you tried to answer the question, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? This concept comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, and Paul challenges us with this statement. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you have failed the test. With this test, we're using the four letters in the word life, L-I-F-E, to help us examine four areas of our life to see if Jesus is in us and to see if we are allowing him to be the Lord of our lives. The last time I shared with you, I talked about how the letter L could help us examine an area in our lives by asking this question. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your lips? I don't know about you, but over the last several weeks, God has and still is challenging me and pointing out sin in my life in this area. But through his forgiveness and grace, I believe he's also softening and shaping my heart so the words that come from my lips will bring glory to him and be a blessing to others. Today, as we continue our life exam, I have to share with you another area that I believe Jesus wants to be the Lord of. This area begins with the letter I. As I mentioned to you the last time, it's an area that the Bible said we should hold as a prisoner and make it do whatever Jesus tells it to do. The letter I in our life exam stands for ideas. An idea is something that exists in the mind, like an image or a thought. It can also be an opinion or a belief. As these ideas come into our minds, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, that we should take captive, which means hold as a prisoner, every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In other words, to make it to do whatever Jesus tells it to do. So here's our life exam question for the day. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your ideas? As I think about the ideas that come in our minds, especially the thoughts that are connected to what's evil or good, to what's right or what's wrong, it's important to understand that these ideas either come from God or the devil. As we take captive the thoughts or ideas that come from God, it's easy for us to get these thoughts to do whatever Jesus tells it to do. But when we take captive the thoughts or ideas that come from the devil, we're going to have an intense fight with them in our minds. A fight like the one Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, when he said this. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. This is a revealing description of the battle that's going on inside our minds when we're trying to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. When we're unsuccessful at taking captive every thought or idea in our minds and making them obedient to Christ, we'll lose the battle inside our heads and we'll have ungodly ideas flooding and consuming our minds. When this happens, these are the kind of ideas that will dominate our thinking. We'll have thoughts or ideas of how we can lie, steal, or cheat to make ourselves look better in the eyes of others. We'll have thoughts of how we will hurt someone physically or emotionally, or how we can damage their reputation. We'll have thoughts of how we can get even with someone, or even how we can bring harm to ourselves. We'll also have thoughts and ideas of jealousy, envy, or prideful thoughts of how we're better than other people because of who we are, what we know, what we have, or what we can do. We'll have ideas and thoughts of greed, lust, and selfishness, and thoughts of how we're going to hold a grudge towards someone by being unwilling to forgive them because they've hurt us or someone we love. When these and other ungodly thoughts or ideas are controlling our thinking, we'll eventually find ourselves in the same condition that the psalmist describes the wicked people to be in Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, when he said this, "In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God." And when our thoughts have no room for God, there's no way that Jesus can be the Lord of our ideas. But when we allow God to give us success in taking captive every thought and making it do whatever Jesus tells us to do, we'll win the battle in our heads and we'll have godly thoughts flooding, consuming our minds. When this happens, these are the kind of thoughts or ideas that will dominate our thinking. We'll have thoughts of how we can be truthful, regardless of what may happen to us or how people may feel about us. We'll have thoughts of how we can compliment someone for what they've done, or how we can build someone's reputation up by telling other people good things about them. We'll have ideas of how we can serve someone who's in need, or share with someone that needs something that we may have. We'll have thoughts of how we can encourage someone who feels sad, lonely, or discouraged. Or we'll have thoughts of how we can celebrate and show our approval for something someone has received or accomplished. We'll even have thoughts of how we're not better or more important to other people, and that we do care what happens to people now or what has happened to them in the past. We'll have thoughts of how we can express forgiveness and grace towards someone who's hurt us or someone we love. We'll even have thoughts of how we can have conversations with other people to show them how much God loves them and that He sent His Son to live, die, and rise again so that they can be safe in the wrath of God and live with Him forever. When these and other godly thoughts or ideas are controlling our minds, our thoughts will reflect that Jesus is the Lord of our ideas, and we will put a smile on God's face. Just like Solomon wrote about in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 26, when he said this, "For the thoughts of the pure are pleasing to Him." Isn't that an encouraging thought? To know that God is pleased with our thoughts and ideas? To be honest with you, there have been times in my life when I felt like God would never be pleased with my thoughts. The reason why I felt this way was because so many of my thoughts were ungodly thoughts. But through God's mercy and patience, His Holy Spirit has started a process that's been going on for several years, the process of helping me to make Jesus the Lord of my ideas. So what about you? Are you allowing ungodly or godly thoughts to dominate the way you think? Are you taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ? As you examine the ideas that dwell in your mind and the way they affect how you live your life, do they reveal that Jesus is the Lord of your ideas? If you're anything like me, as you examine your thoughts and ideas, you probably feel that having godly thoughts all day, every day, is a desire for your life more than it is a reality. Not only that, you may even identify with me when I confess that God has a lot of work to do in me before all my thoughts and ideas are His thoughts and ideas. If this is how you feel too, it's my prayer that you'll join me in receiving some of the challenges laid out in God's Word that can give us some hope and direction on what God wants us to do in this area of our lives. Verses like Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when Paul said, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus." In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, when Paul said, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." It's through verses like these, along with prayer, worship, the accountability of other believers, and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God, that I believe God can transform our thoughts so that the ideas that dwell in our minds will be His ideas and His thoughts. And when our thoughts and ideas are like God's thoughts and ideas, He can destroy the work of the devil in our minds, and He can transform our lives to be just like Jesus. God's desire for every human being. In the next lesson, I'll share with you the third area of our lives that I believe Jesus wants to be the Lord of. This area starts with the letter F, and God's Word says that we should watch over it and shield it from danger, for it is where life comes from. So until then, let's be passionately determined to live out the encouraging yet challenging words that Paul speaks to us about the kind of thoughts we should have when he said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things."
Because we're serving His name, and we're sharing His name. Yeah, yeah. God gave His only Son to die, so we offer Him all our lives. And we're loving His name, and we're living in His name, and we're living in Jesus' name.